This is Audible.
Audible Frontiers presents Night of the Hunter, written by R.A. Salvatore, narrated by Victor Bavine. Prologue. So much blood. Everywhere, blood. It followed Doomwheel wherever she traveled. She saw it on her silvery skin. Skin that spoke of her mixed elf and drow heritage. It followed her in her dreams, each night, every night. She saw it on the footprints she left in the snow. She saw it on her keen-edged sword. Yes, on the sword most of all. It was always there, reflected in the red edge of the sentient weapon, Cassidea. A thousand times had she stabbed that blade through her brother's heart. His screams echoed between the beats of her every waking thought and filled her dreams, sweet music to the sensibilities of Cassidea. Her brother Tyrflynn had tried to stab her with that very sword, with her sword as she slept one day, but she had been quicker. She had been better. She had been more worthy. She felt the blade entering his chest, easily shearing through skin and muscle and bone, reaching for his heart so that the delicious blood might flow freely. She could never wash that blood from her hands. But at that time, in the thralls of the weapon, with the warm words of her father whispering into her ear, she didn't want to wash the blood from her hands. Perhaps Tyrflynn's dying screams were music, after all. Two, the drow's fingers indicated, and the motion continued in the intricate silent hand language of the cunning race. Moving stealthily. To Sabarak Zor-Lauren, noble wizard of Menzo Berenzon's third house, carefully considered his next move. He wasn't comfortable out here, so far from both Menzo Berenzon and Cusor Lauren, the new drow city his family was creating in the mines of the ancient dwarven homeland of Gontalgrim. He was fairly sure that he knew why Matron Xerath had sent him, particularly him, on this distant reconnoiter. Xerath wanted to keep him far from Ravel, her son, who was a bitter rival of Tesabarak. And a bitter rival who had surely gained the upper hand, Tesabarak had to admit. With his successful infiltration of the ancient dwarven homeland, Ravel had become the shining fairy fire to accent the glory of House Zor-Lauren. And he had done so in the company of a Baenri, no less, and with the blessing of that powerful clan. The city of Cusor-Lauren was well on its way to becoming reality. And Ravel had played the paramount role in that development. The wizard's fingers moved quickly, speaking to the point, demanding more information from the scouts. He sent them forth and headed back the other way, where his cousin Berilip, Ravel's older sister, waited. He spotted her among the entourage, still in a small natural chamber off to the side of the underground river that had been guiding them thus far. Berilip Zor-Lauren was rarely hard to find, after all. Brash and loud, she kept the inferior commoner males far away, with only her two young female attendants allowed to even address her. Tesabarak moved across the small room and waved those attendants away.
"You have found them?"
Tesabarak nodded.
"Two, at least, moving along the lower tunnels."
"Orcs?"
The maid shrugged.
"We do not know yet. Stealthier than orcs, it would seem. Clever goblins, perhaps."
"I can smell the orc stench all about us," Berilip said with obvious disgust.
Tesabarak again could only shrug. They had come here, to these tunnels underneath the northern reaches of the Silver Marches, with full expectation that they would encounter many orcs. After all, up above them was the land of King Obuld, the kingdom of many arrows.
"I view your smirk as an invitation to play," Berilip warned, her hand moving near to the hilt of her snake-headed whip.
"My apologies, priestess.
De Sabarak said, and he bowed deferentially. This one did so love to put that whip to its painful work on the flesh of drow males. I was merely wondering if a goblin tribe taken as prisoners would suffice upon our return to Cusor Lauren.
You still believe that we were sent out here to secure slaves?
Partly,
the wizard answered honestly.
I know of other reasons why I might be moved aside for the present. I am not certain, however, why you would be so removed in this time of great upheaval and glory for the house.
Because Matron Xerith determined it,
the priestess answered through tight lips. De Sabarak bowed again, confirming that such an answer was, of course, all that he needed or deserved. She closely guarded her thoughts, as was often her way, and De Sabarak could only accept it for what it was. He and Berylip had spoken many times of the purpose of their mission, in conversations where Berylip had been far more open and even critical of Matron Xerith. But such was the nature of Berylip Zor-Lauren that she could simply, stubbornly, pretend that those previous discussions had never taken place.
It was not only Matron Xerith who determined our course and the composition of our troop, he boldly remarked.
You do not know this.
I have known Archmage Grump Beanry for 2 centuries. His hand is in this.
Berylip's face grew very tight, and she muttered,
Beanry's hand is in everything.
A clear reference to Tiago Beanry, the First House's official escort to Ravel's mission that had conquered Gontalgrim. Berylip had made no secret to De Sabarak of her distaste for the brash young noble warrior in the early days of their journey east. Berylip's scorn for Tiago came as no surprise to De Sabarak. He knew Tiago fairly well, and the young warrior's propensity to forego the station afforded mere males and to throw the weight of House Beanry behind his imperial attitude was well documented among the lesser houses in Menzo Berenzon. Besides, rumors whispered that Tiago would soon wed Sarabel Zor-Lauren, Berylip's younger, and by all accounts and all measures inferior sister, having chosen her above Berylip. No doubt, De Sabarak realized, Berylip thought much the same of Sarabel as she did of Ravel.
What business would the Archmage have with us out here?
Berylip asked, despite her smug superiority.
He would bid Matron Xerith to send a high priestess and a master of sorcerer off on an errand to collect simple